of item two on the agenda, the minutes from the June 2nd, 2020 board meeting. Does anyone have any suggestions, suggested amendments or revisions? Hearing none, the minutes are accepted. Item three, the June 2020 year-to-date financials. Jill?
Okay. This is a document that was distributed back in the middle of July and the end of July. It's a little bit dated at this point, but it goes through the end of June. And what I really wanted to bring to everybody's attention, this budget does use the revised budget that we that was approved by the board in June. And the, if you look at the bottom section, we've got a section for each month. We've got a year to date in the green. And then on the far right, we've got a 2020 total, which is like a rolling total with budget and actual. On the bottom of that, there's the operating income. And you'll see what I want to show, because this is kind of a scary looking document. And I think I just want to make sure everybody understands what we're looking at is, we had budgeted after we amended the budget a $2.6 million deficit or budgeting loss for the year. What that does is keep in mind that all the numbers that are above that, is particularly for the awards, are showing 100% of the awards. We instituted a 50% holdback, which actually will come off of that deficit. So we budgeted for the first 6 months that $2.6 million deficit. We actually did a little better than that, and we only have a 1.9% deficit. So it's $623,000 to the better. And then if you look at the very bottom of that that section where I've added a column for the withholds, you'll see that that amount really equals the amount we have in our holdback, that we're holding back. So right now it's just showing, of course, it's only, you know, really 1 month into the new budget, but it's showing that we're pretty much on track. I don't have any revenue numbers for July yet, but we do have the awards calculation. What I'm seeing there is something that has to be monitored a little bit closely, is that we had, when we did the revised budget, we had budgeted for approximately a 40% decrease in purses and therefore awards. We're not really seeing that, at least with NYRA. We actually, our awards for July are only about $9,000 less than they were for in July of 2019. And NYRA raced 13 more races this year than they did last year. Some of that is because of weather issues last year. But so it's something that we have to monitor and look at a little closer. I don't know if it was just a fluke in July or if that's going to hold true. What helps us is that Finger Lakes did not start their racing until the 20th of July, and we had anticipated that they would start early, that they would be racing in July. So that kind of offset it, and I think the bottom line in July is going to be, we're going to be fine, but I just wanted to bring that to your attention. The only other thing in this June report is the last page, which is our accounts receivable. I have started calling on some of these over 90 days. I haven't been very successful getting any money, but I'm going to keep working on that now that the racing has continued. There were some entities that weren't even open for business, so I've got some revised revenue numbers because I wasn't getting any numbers from them. So I'm hoping that the money starts trickling in again to help keep our cash flow in line. Anybody have any questions on the June financial reports or any questions on the July or the budget or anything on that? Okay.
Thank you, Jill.
Yep.
We'll take a motion to accept the June 2020 financials. You just say your name so we know who it is. And that was...
This is Jeff. I second the motion.
Motion by Chairman Sample, second by Mr. Canizzo. All in favor?
Aye.
The financials are accepted. Item four, the proposed budget for 2021. Jill?
Okay, so what we're looking at here is because of all the unknowns, when this was discussed with the audit committee, it was decided that we needed something. The fund is required to file a budget to the comptroller's office and the authority's budget office by September 30th. So we needed to have something, but because there's so many unknowns right now, it was really, what to do. So what we decided to do was just at this point to just assume 2021 is going to be back to normal. And so if you look at this first page of the budget, the summary page, what it's showing is basically the 2021 revenue and expenses in line to what we had in 2018 and 19. And that's going to be our starting point for right now. We of course know that the situation is changing every day, and if needed, once 2021 comes, or as we get a little closer and we know a little bit about what's going on, this can always be amended and changes made at that time. So what we're asking for at this time, and the audit committee has agreed to pass this along at this time for the board to consider, is to approve this 2021 budget as it stands and, look at it going forward to make sure, what actually is going to occur in 2021. Any questions?
I think given all the unknowns, I think it makes a lot of sense, at least in my opinion.
I have a question, Jill. It's Joe McMahon.
Uh-huh.
So our revenue's got to be way down because there's no on-track handle. We don't participate in much of the export of the simulcast, or none. Our revenue stream, therefore, is just from the Naira One accounts and whatever OTBs are operating.
Yeah, basically there is some the Naira bets. There's also some, I can't say that I understand it a lot, but there's some signal, bridge signals and signal revenue that we get money from. So yes, it's true. They've only, I don't have July. I really only have June's information right now. So far it's been a little bit better. We had projected that as well when we did the 2020 budget, that we wouldn't have any live on track until much later in the year. And there are some other sources of revenue. We get the ADW or the market origin credit. That's actually doubled. It's not a ton of money. We usually get between $75,000 and $100,000 a month on that. The last couple of months, it's been a little bit closer to, $150,000, $200,000. So maybe that will continue. That's about all that we get our revenue from, which is why we put the 50% hold back in.
Yeah. Well, my question is, it seems to me like this number is going to end up being way off, way, way off, not 50%, probably a higher number is what I'm getting at.
If we don't
participate in the major part of the revenue stream, which is the export of the Naira signal, which we do not, that's where all the money is coming from right now. Unless we see a huge influx of people with Naira One accounts, we're not going to get much money.
Which is exactly what's happened.
And that's what's happening. So, well, I know that's what's happened.
But you're talking about you're talking about this year. We were talking about the budget for next year.
Right. I know that. I'm talking about the here and now.
Right.
Sorry, but we better all start looking at it. Because October, we're not going to have any money, is what it looks like to me, or it's going to be a pittance compared to what we normally had.
The casinos do not open. I don't see it that way. That's why we did exactly what we did a month and a half ago. Mm-hmm. Frankly, Jill's numbers are better than what we were predicting for the first month of this. Way better.
Yeah, you know, because there are handles that's coming in from the OTBs. I think when we were figuring out the handle, we didn't even include any revenue. So, you know, if you look at what we had budgeted last month, the month of June, we took in $318,000 in handle. Yes, I'm saying that's a small amount, but if you think about it, our handle was really only about probably less than 30% of our total revenue. Our major revenue source is from the VLTs. So that's what we really want to see come back eventually. And I think that we were very observant when we put in that budget to try to say that, you know, if we don't get VLTs until October and we get them back at 25%, and if we only get, we don't have live on track handle, you know, what kind of revenue are we going to have and what can we afford to pay out in awards? And I think that, you know, we did a pretty good job of trying to be conservative, and so that we will be able to pay out that 50%. That's why we have to look at it month to month, because things are changing so rapidly. Right now we're fine. I think in July we're going to be okay. We're still meeting our budget goals, but nobody knows what October, November, December is going to bring. And so then we do need to maybe look at it if it's a worst case scenario.
Okay. Well, thank you.
So as Jill, as of right now, right, as of the month report, right, we were forecasting a $2.5 million operating loss, right, through the end of the year, right? Of which we instituted a 50% holdback on awards that would cover that loss and then some, by $600,000, right?
Right.
And what your numbers are saying through the first month of this, that $2.5 million loss, it actually turned out to be a $1.9 million loss. So in reality, we recouped $600,000 that we thought we were going to lose, that we actually didn't lose. So
yeah.
The point is that the 50% holdback, realistically, was far less through 1 month of this. Like, that's the takeaway that I see from your report. Am I wrong?
And that's what I would agree that's what's correct. I do want to make sure that people don't get too concerned when they see a 1.9% deficit, because we had factored in that there would be a deficit at the end, which is why we're doing that 50% holdback. The
correct
question comes in is, do our projections hold true for the rest of the year? I mean, we had talked about live, you know, being able to have live on track coming back maybe 50% in August and in September, and that doesn't really look like that's going to happen. So there's going to be a little bit of a revenue decrease there. You know, if the awards that we are paying out continue to be as strong as they are, then there's going to be a disconnect there. So, but, you know, at this point, I still feel pretty comfortable, because we were so conservative and we left some extra money on the side, that we will be able to meet these projections. Confident in it.
Let me talk about some of these tangible things that I think that should shed light or further Joe's thoughts, too. The reason that we're... So the Naira Bet account holders is gone up dramatically in that period of time, which is why the ADW revenue to the fund is gone up double, okay? That continuation is going to continue forward probably forever, right? Because we're seeing a transition of business, obviously, from on-track to technology. The on-track handle obviously isn't going to happen. And oh, by the way, it isn't going to happen for the rest of the year, realistically. So, but the difference is that ADW revenue realistically is recouping a significant proportion of on track. Obviously, Saratoga is Saratoga, but for the rest of the year, that's going to hold true. This is me talking through this. Now, the other side of this, the expense side, the VLT side of it, the reality of the VLT situation is, you know, and some of our commissioners on here can, I'm sure, shed more light to this, but the understanding is this isn't happening anytime soon in terms of the casinos real, right? Let's be realistic about it. So we projected a fall timeline that they would open up at a quarter. I'm not sure that, I don't personally believe that's realistic anymore. So that most likely will need to change if that doesn't happen, but I guess there's a chance that it could. And on the expense side of this, I think July was very much an anomaly because we did, frankly, last year was a bad weather year. But I think what you're going to see going forward is reduced number of days with a reduced number of races that at the end of the year, Jill, is going to be a washout for awards, probably to where we budgeted, basically. But that's my two cents on that overall industry perspective of the situation.
Yeah, the summer is a very popular time, and a lot of people do bet in the summertime. So I can see Naira and Finger Lakes wanting to put as many of races as they can in the summer months, and maybe to, you know, decrease them later on in the final quarter. You know, you have a big bang in when you can, and then probably level off a little bit. So, you know, at this point with July, because of the revenues that we've got, you know, we're still okay, and because Finger Lakes didn't open, so far June and July we're right on budget. We've got a little extra in reserve to see what happens during the next couple of months. I can't promise you that, you know, in December we're going to say everything was great, but I think we've done the best job that we can at this point, and we've got to follow something. So rather than go with a complete doomsday where we don't pay any awards, I think we're okay here at this point. I still do.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I want to add one more thing. Finger Lakes, because you brought it up. So the reality of Finger Lakes is they had enough purse money to run a 20 to 25-day meet, okay, which began a few weeks ago, right? They're already 2 weeks into it, I believe. Now, if their casino doesn't open by the 20, well, I'll call it 25 days of them running, they are closed. They're not going to, they don't have no more purse money to run, right? So if Finger Lakes Casino doesn't open by the end of this month, as in August, you're going to see the racing there cease to exist. So if that was to happen, which I think there's a very good likelihood that it could happen, all of those awards that you're calculating from the month of September on don't exist either. So I want to put that out there as another caveat to the situation.
Thanks, Jeff. It makes sense. But I think here we are in August of 2020, and we're required to project a budget for 2021. So I think it makes sense to do what the audit committee recommended, going back and assuming everything is going to be back to normal in 2021, at least at this stage, to meet our obligation to submit a budget.
Yes.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, if there are any other questions on the proposed budget for 2021, which just goes back and I think it just duplicates 2019, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Correct?
Yeah.
Yes,
pretty much.
Any other questions on that proposed budget? Then I'll take a motion to adopt the proposed budget for 2021.
So moved by Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
Second by Bill.
Thank you, Bill. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The budget is accepted. Item 5. The reinstatement of the field team. Tracy?
It was decided at the last board meeting that due to budget concerns and concerns about COVID-19, both to our field inspectors and people living and working on farms, that the field team, the two inspectors, would be laid off for furloughed for June and July. but that they would not be brought back unless the full board voted to bring them back. The audit committee considered this and recommending that they are brought back. Among the things that had to be considered is, are we protecting our SEAL team, which we believe we are. We're equipping them with gloves, hand sanitizer, masks, and when they go to the farms, they will be informed that they can, you know, have to be 6 feet distant from the employees. If the employees don't have a mask, they're allowed to provide a mask to those employees. Also, are the farms ready for the field inspectors to come back and visit? So we called some farms around the state, and they are confident that as long as people are practicing the safe protocols, that the field inspectors indeed are able to go back to work. Also, like motels in the western part, central and western part of the state are open again. In addition to that, Tom Reynolds is the one who's an inspector who goes to the western part of the state. And he also has, you know, a couple of places he can stay in the capital region if he wants to, you know, launch his trips to the western part of the state from here to make his, you know, out-of-town visits less strenuous. And then, of course, there is the, you know, do we have the money to do it? And Jill says, according to the budget that we do, and Jill can expound upon that if she wants to.
Quick question before Jill speaks. Tracy, thank you for this. Appreciate your being on top of it. Certainly the inspectors are key to the integrity of the program, you know, along with mirror movement or hand and glove. I ask this in ignorance, but in terms of the governor's phasing, you know, reopening thing, how would the activity of the inspectors fit into that?
Well, I mean, I think every part of the state right now is safe, or even New York City, but of course they're not doing anything in New York City. So, you know, the social distancing and the protocols are still in place.
So as long as everybody does all the mask and distancing and all that stuff, yeah, there's no reason they can't do it, right? That's all I was trying.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
And I just want to add, you know, to Tracy's, you know, we did budget for the furlough team to be out in July and August and then to come back. And so since we're still using that 2020 revised budget, I would say there's no reason financially that the fund couldn't bring it back.
And it is where they would also be in the same schedule we are on, which is one furlough day per pay period.
Thank you. Any other questions for Tracy or Jill? Then I take a motion to reinstate the field team.
Okay. John makes the motion.
Mr. Graziano.
I make the second, Bill.
Second by?
Bill Wilmot.
Dr. Wilmot. Any other questions on the motion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The field team is reinstated. Item 6, the Marvin and Company contract. Joe.
Okay, so again, with the audit committee met, and right now what we have is we went out for RFP for 2016 through 2018. The low bidder on that, there were three that were right in the ballpark, and the board decided to go with Marvin and Company. So they've done 3 years, and then last year we did a one-year extension, which was what we are authorized to do per our procurement guidelines. We're asking again if the board would consider doing another one-year extension to this. Marvin and Company has agreed not to increase their price from the 2019 fee of $11,750. which is comparable to what the RFP was for originally. And it's just that, especially this year with the COVID and all the restrictions, you know, Marvin is familiar with the fund's activities. They do it for a reasonable price. And at this time, we don't think that an RFP really provides any benefit. And so the audit committee discussed it and agreed that if the board approves, they would do a one-year extension with Marvin for the 2020 audit.
Thank you, Jill. Any questions? Then I'll take a motion to accept the audit committee recommendation that the Marvin and Company contract be extended by 1 year.
So moved, Joe.
Second.
Motion by Mr. McMahon, second by... Who seconded?
Richard Ball. Richard Ball.
By Commissioner Ball. Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The contract is extended. Item 7 is the mail residency rule. We've had a flurry of activity in the last couple of days. I'd like to express my thanks to Jeff Canizzo and Rob Williams for getting together and moving this forward. Kyle, could you give us a roadmap of where we go from here?
Sure. Yeah, it was great to see the email from Rob Williams the other day indicating that the proposed rule has been cleared for all state internal review and has been approved for publication. And so according to Rob Williams, he's of the view that this will likely get published, and the proposed rule will likely get published by the end of August. It will then require a 60-day public comment period, so that public comment period would close by the end of October. Hopefully there won't be any serious or significant comments that would require a reconsideration of the proposed rule. And if that's the case, then the board would then have to reconvene in order to formally adopt the rule. And then, according to the timeline that Rob Williams has provided, he thinks that that would then be published in the register by the end of November. I will be talking to Rick Goodell from Gaming Commission about this timeline that Rob has put out, and make sure that we're doing everything that we need to do in order to make this timeline work. I haven't done that yet because I wanted to first have this call and make sure that we were all on board with this, that nothing has changed. I'm sure it hasn't, but I'll be in touch with Rick Goodell shortly after this meeting to make sure that we're doing all that we need to do to make sure that we get this this effectuated as soon as possible. The text of the proposed rule, by the way, indicates that it would be effective from, I believe it's November 1, 2019, all public auctions from November 1, 2019 forward. Unless that somehow changes through the public comment period, I think that's still going to be the case. So that's sort of an update of where things are.
Thank you, Kyle. Any questions or comments or further discussion?
Well,
no, this is Jeff.
Jeff, I just want to say it will require the board to get together
you know, end of October, first day of November, that's a weekday, so that they can formally approve it and then make it effective. The first Keeneland mix sale starts November 9th, so it's really calling it close.
Well, we will schedule that as soon as it's necessary.
Okay.
No, I think all I would say is, and I guess this is for Kyle and Tracy, is that the key to the timing of this, obviously, is, and this was obviously already said via email, but the key to the timing of this is obviously the start of the process, which means when it's actually published into the state register by the state. So if you guys can determine or find out and stay on that part of it, that's going to drive the end date, obviously, for when it's finalized.
Right.
That's all. So that's really the key, is how quickly can we get it into the register, which will determine how long this will take, which will determine if it's done before the November sales or at some point during November, why they're going on.
Right.
I have a question for Kyle on that. Is if it's approved but not yet in the state registry, does that mean that it has to wait until it's in the state registry?
I believe so, but I would imagine that the fund can communicate about the fact that this is that this is going to be effective, and that it's really just a technical legal matter that we're waiting for it to actually become a final rule. But as I indicated earlier, that proposed rule, the text of the proposed rule, indicates that it's effective for public auction sales occurring on or after November 1, 2019. So I don't see any reason why, you know, you can't just tell people what the facts are. And the facts are that if we get to that point, that it went through the public comment period with no significant comments, if that's the case, that this is on its way to being adopted and would be effective.
Correct.
Could you keep the board posted on your conversations with Mr. Goodell?
I sure will. Thank you, Kyle.
I think it's important too that we think through the implementation time period of this, because as the rule is written, it applies to November of last year for mayor. So it'd be great for the fund to have everything buttoned up and a plan going forward on what mayors are going to be applied under this rule change and who will not be.
Right.
Maybe you can just give us an update on that, Tracy, okay?
Well, yes, it'll be up to you guys to decide at that time whether you think we should allow people to waive the breed back rule if they buy a mayor and fall for $50,000 or $60,000 or $40,000, and that will be up to the board. So, Jeff, I said your members will want to have weigh in on that, right?
Well, the rule is written as is, $50,000. But yes, the fund is going to have the latitude to revise that if needed going forward. But it will be written in as the $50,000. That's how it's going to start off.
All right.
Now, if you could just do an implementation memo for us, Tracy, that would be very helpful.
Okay. All right.
Thank you. Any other discussion on the residency rule? And we'll move to item 8. First, we'll take old business. Anybody have any old business? We'll move on to new business. Does anyone have any new business?
I just have an update for everybody on how the Wheeling applications are going. So far, as of the end of July, we have 211 Wheelings that are getting registered, compared to 174 at this point last year. The percentage of those nominating for futures is down slightly. Last year, 86% of those registered this time paid for the Finger Lakes Futurity. This year, it's 79%, but the number is higher. 166 of the 211 falls registered also paid that $125 fee to be nominated to the Finger Lakes Futurity Series.
Tracy, so this is Jeff. Can you repeat that number for the Wheelings that were registered? I'm
absolutely.
Sorry. I
missed. Sure. So far, as of July 31st this year, 211 Wheelings have been registered. Compared to last year at this time, 174 had been registered.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep. So 166 of the 211 also paid for the futurity nomination.
Any other new business? Any other new comments, discussions? Hearing none, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Second. Thank you. Hopefully we'll all be able to get together in person for the next meeting, but I'm sure we'll be talking on a number of issues between now and then.
How about we do it on a Zoom call?
Yeah, we can even do a Zoom call if you want to make sure that we shave and take and change our bathing suits.
it's for the best.
That's one.
It's for the best.
Take care, guys. Thank you all for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you all for your
help.
Bye-bye.